Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, God has not forgot about you. No, no. But if you hold on, he'll do the same thing for you. Yes, he will. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause God has not forgotten.
Oh, he's a wonder in my.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBlanc with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father, for this precious opportunity and privilege that, Lord, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, that we can come before you, that you would assemble us together through these radio waves and through this means, my Father God, to usher all of us, not just to listen to a radio broadcast, but to come into your presence, my Father God. Hallelujah. Without any sense of guilt or condemnation, knowing that even though our sins are like scarlet, yet you washed us white as snow, my Father God, and you put it in the sea of forgiveness. Not that we can just do anything and it'd be all right, Lord, but so that we can come boldly into your very presence and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, Father. And Lord, because you have extended unto all of us, hallelujah, that open invitation to come boldly, not just come, but come boldly with anticipation and confidence that whatever we might come to you for that pertains to life and godliness, you will do it for us, Father. So we thank you, Father, once again, for the precious opportunity that you would assemble all of us together. If all those who are tuned in, Father, to this radio broadcast in this hour, hallelujah, that's an act of God. That's you who have invited us. For you always say, no man can come to you except you be drawn by your spirit. So the very fact that everyone that's listening to this radio broadcast today in this hour, Lord, is the indication, Father, that you have appointed unto every last one of us the golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that we can come boldly, like we said earlier, boldly into your very presence, my Father, and get whatever we have need of that pertains to life, the God kind of life. Hallelujah. And godliness, my Father. So we take you up on that invitation, Father, and we come. Here's our cup. Fill it up, my Father, and make us whole, Lord. We thank you for the precious Son of your Jesus Christ, who made it possible for all of us to come. Through everything that you sent him to do, he finished it, hallelujah. And what he finished, my Father God, is a done deal. So that the work that you begun in us is already completed, Lord. And Father, we are just becoming who we already are. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, my Father. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. We welcome you. And we say unto you, hey, you're the one that's at work in the earth today. The Father did a work, and on the seventh day he rested. Jesus Christ come and did a work, and boy, I'm talking about when he on the cross, he said, it is finished. And he went back up to his seat at the right hand of the Father. Now it is you, Holy Spirit, that's in the earth today, that's going to complete the work, the consummation of the work of God, to finish everything that God has ordered, that God has rested from and completed, that Jesus Christ has finished, and it is you that is manifesting it in the lives, in the hearts, and the lives of all God's children. So we welcome you. We thank you that right now you are anointing our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. I thank you that you are anointing my lips to speak. Hallelujah. The incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living word of the Most High God, which is able to build all of us up and give us our inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, and you take control right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I thank you, my Father, that you would think through my mind, speak through my lips, and that every need that's represented out there in radio land and everyone that's under the sound of my voice, we decree and declare that every need is met, glory to God, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of your Holy Ghost. Now, Father, be it unto us according to your word. And as in always, we're careful to make sure that we give you all of the credit, all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the glory. But Father, the kingdom is yours, and all of us who dwell in it, we belong to you. So your kingdom come, and your will be done in our lives here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Now, Father, give us every day on a daily basis, this day, our daily bread, everything that we have need of to help you, to assist you in accomplishing your will, your intent, your desire, and your purpose for all our lives. Be it unto us, my Father, according to your word. And by faith, we call it done in the precious name of Jesus. And if you're in agreement with that prayer, then all of you on the sound of my voice, just say amen. And so shall it be. You know, that's what amen means. And so shall it be. So let me greet you properly. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hello. I tell y'all, every time I say that on the radio broadcast, boy, I get excited. A big old smile come up on my face. Hallelujah. Wow, Arthur. Because that's who we really are. Even if you don't know it. Even if you don't understand it. That don't nullify me and what God has said. The reason why I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, the reason why I say that and know that and have confidence in that that's who we are, because that's what God said. And boy, my faith and my confidence and my trust is in not the circumstances, the situations, or the symptoms, or the things that are seen, but boy, my faith and my confidence and my trust is in what the King said, what God said. My faith and my confidence is in the Word of God. And the word of God said that, hey, God standing in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges amongst the gods. And he judged a righteous judgment. What did he do? He stands in the congregation of the mighty. That's in your Bible in Psalms 82. What he do? He stand in the congregation of the mighty. Who is the congregation of the mighty? That's all his children. You might not act like it. You might not know it. We might not be operating in that mighty power that's on the inside of us. But that don't nullify, man, the fact and the truth and the reality that we really are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Even if we never operate in your might and in your power, that don't nullify, man, what God is saying. We are who we say we are. We have what we say we have, what he say we have, and we can do what he say we can do. It don't matter if you think you can't do it and I can't do this and I don't have this here and I ain't this and I ain't that. Hey, listen, boy, that's the devil's motive around to keep us from the knowledge of what? Who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here on this earth, what we really can do. And when it's all said and done, where we really going to end up at. That's been mankind's age-old questions, man, from Adam all the way up to now. Since the fall of Adam all the way up to right now. Well, who are we? Man say this, scientists say this, he say this, she say this, they say this, they live. But what the king say, I tell you, that's what goes. Hallelujah. And boy, the devil don't ever want you to come to the revelation knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus, what you have, what we have in Christ Jesus, what we can do in Christ Jesus. So long as he can keep us, man, ignorant to who we are, what we have, and what we can do, then he can continue, man, to help call us to live far below our rights and privileges. Listen, Jesus said this here. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, man, it don't matter whether you believe it or not. It's certain. Jesus said, boy, listen, as I am, so are you. The works that I do, so can you. The way the Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. What do you say? He said, as I am, so are you. What you mean? When you look at Jesus, man, in everything that he did, he came to this earth to display something. What? You and me. He couldn't show us, boy, who we are. He couldn't show us what we can do. He couldn't show us what we have. He said, I give you all power, power over all the works of your enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. What we have, all power, power in heaven, power on earth, even power under the earth. What you mean under the earth? Power over death. Jesus said it this way. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up again. They didn't understand what he was saying. They thought he was talking about a building or a church building, but he was talking about, boy, his body. He said, in other words, boy, crucify me, and in 3 days, baby, I get up. Why? Because I got all power. I got power over death. So they crucified him, and you know what happened. 3 days later, man, he got up. And he got up with all power, with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And then he stood on the bars of the universe and said to you and I and to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl, behold, I give you all power, power over all the works of your enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Even if you die, he said, I'll raise you from the dead. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the same Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you and I. And just like he raised Jesus Christ from a physical death when they crucified him, he's going to do the same thing with you and I when we die a physical death. He's going to raise us up too. Hallelujah. Now listen, not just raise us up, man, to this earth, but raise us up, man, and all the way into the literal presence of the Most High God. So death, where is your stain? Grave, where is your victory? Don't have no stain. Don't have no victory. Why? Because, boy, I'm talking about, boy, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Glory to God. And that life is in his son, Jesus Christ. And his son, Jesus Christ, that's the word of the living God. The Bible says, boy, in the beginning was the word. Who? In the beginning. Before that was anything. Before that was a it or a there, a when or a where, before the foundation of the word, that was God. And boy, God could talk. So in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And in him, notice he called him a him, who? The word. In him was life. Where the life at? It's in the word of God. And the life that's in the word of God, what kind of life is that? That's the everlasting life. That's eternal life. That's life the way God lives and life the way God created mankind to live. How is that, Arthur? Just like him. That's why I told you Jesus Christ come to this earth to show you and I. You and I. He's going to show us who we are. He's going to show us what we can do. He's going to show us what we have. Hallelujah. He's going to show you you. He said it this way, as I am, so are you. The work that I do, so shall you. And the same reason and the purpose, and just like the Father sent me, and for that reason, that purpose, that's the same way I'm going to send you. Go into all the world and let the world know, boy, that God was in his Son, Jesus Christ, reconciling mankind back to himself. We were separated from him because of our sin. But because of his love for us, boy, he covered our sin, man, and washed us white as snow so that, boy, we could be reconciled back to him. So that we can come back into a covenant relationship with the creator of the universe, our Father which is in heaven. So what, man, so that, boy, we can come back and can't listen. I say this all the time on this radio broadcast, and it bear repeating if I do it every time I come on here. Can you imagine what kind of life Adam and Eve was living before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and rebelled against the known will of God? Can you imagine what kind of life that was when they was walking and talking with God? Watch, in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of the Most High God. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the filled with the presence of God, filled with the love of God, filled with the life of God. No sin, no condemnation, man, just one with the Father. Walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, becoming what God said about them. And listen to what God said about them. This is the first thing that came out of his mouth concerning mankind. I ain't talking about what Isaiah said and Jeremiah said and what Brother Arthur said and Pastor so-and-so said and what Bishop said. Thank God for all of that. But I'm talking about a more sure word, boy, what God said. And, boy, this is the first word that came out of his mouth concerning us, boy. And I repeat this all the time, too, because it got to get past your intellect down into your spirit. God said. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's make man just like us, mankind, male and female, in our image and in our life. And watch this here. And let them, who? Mankind, have what? Dominion, sovereignty. Sovereignty. What's sovereignty? Complete rule. Instead of circumstance, situation, and symptom, and places, and people, and everything else ruling over us, we flipped that script and started ruling over every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom, man, that confronts our lives. He on earth. That's what they listen. What? That we have dominion. That's power, control, and influence, and authority. Over what? Over every circumstance, every situation, every symptom that confronts our lives here on earth. Hell no. And then the Bible says, and then God blessed them. First, you say, so God created man in his image and his life. In his image created he them. Then it say, male and female created he them. And boy, this is what I like the most about that passage of scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. And God blessed them. Hallelujah. And told them, man, this is how you have dominion over the earth. What? Be fruitful. Be productive. Take the seed of my word of God, of my word, and plant it in your heart. And meditate in it day and night. What you doing when you're meditating in it? You watering the seed. And don't get weary if you don't see instant results. But boy, operate the principle, the law, a law in the kingdom called a law of sowing and reaping. Just keep on planting the seed of God's word into your life. Keep on meditating in it day and night. Till we observe how to act on it, to do. According to what, boy, he tells us, according to what he speaks to our heart. The Bible says, and then, implying that not until then. You say, and then what? when you let God's word be in your mouth, when you speak God's word to your circumstance, your situation, to your symptom. Not when you speak, man, your circumstance, your situation, your symptom, and what is to your life, but when you speak what God say about your circumstance and situations and symptoms that confront your life. When you speak the word of God to them, Lord, what do you say? Be fruitful. Take the seed of my word, boy, and plant it in your life. By your prayer in your life, by speaking it. Hallelujah. By meditating in it. By acting on it. And what's going to be the result of it? Don't get weary. Why? Because, boy, I'm done, my boy, in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint, if you don't cave in, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, if you continue to speak God's word to your life and to your circumstances. And to your situation, and to your symptom. Do what? Speak God's word. I'm not talking about having church. I'm talking about, man, you know, having our emotions stirred up, man, and giving us hope for tomorrow. I'm talking about something that would give us faith for today. God is a very present help in our times of need. You think when we ask God to help us, he say no? You think when we ask God to empower us, to bless us, he say no? You think when we ask God to forgive us of all our sins, you think he say no? When we ask God, man, to heal us of all our wounds and all of our diseases and all of our sickness, do you think he say no? When you ask God to help you, you think he say no? The Bible say, boy, he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And through his promises, we partake of his divine nature. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody says, if you ask God to save you, you think he'll say no? In spite of your faults and mistakes and weaknesses and inabilities, you think he say no? But he said in his word, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, it didn't say might be, could be, may be. It say shall be. Hallelujah. What you got to do? All you got to do then is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And you shall be. What shall mean? Most definitely. You shall be saved. Right. So if you ask God to save you, all you got to do is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. If we ask God to heal us, all we got to do is believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth. If we ask God to help us, all we got to do is believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth. Hallelujah. And we shall be saved. We shall be healed. We shall be delivered. We shall be provided for. What? It's all in the action. But when you ask, man, listen, you got to ask in faith. That's why I said all that to say this here, boy. The devil got a strategy against man, us, the children of the Most High God. And his strategy, man, above all, boy, is to rob the word of God out of our life. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, St. John, they say the thief, that's the devil. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief. Who is the thief? That's the devil. What did he come to do? He come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. What the devil come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal what? Steal the word of God out of your life. Steal a knowledge of God's will and God's intent and God's desire and God's purpose for your life. Steal our health from us. Steal our peace from us. Steal our joy from us. Steal our abundant life from us. Stealing our identity from us. Stealing our purpose from us. Stealing our potential from us. And stealing our eternal destiny that God has for our life. Stealing that from us. How are you doing this? By a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what, Arthur? Of what God is doing. Not what my church is doing. Not what I'm doing. Not what mankind is doing. Not what the politicians are doing. Not what, man, you know, not all that, but steal us from the knowledge of what God is doing. Hallelujah. He don't want you to know, boy, what God, and the only way you can know what God is doing, you got to know, boy, that's revealed in his word. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know the word. You know, I come to discover this. You know, I've been discovered it, but I come to really, you know, come to the understanding of it, you know, the devil's most successful tactic against us. And that's to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. This is what I discovered. But majority of us, God's people, majority of God's children, man, you know what? They're being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what? The word of God. Most believers don't know the word of God. I don't think I'd be stretching it if I say 80% of the people that are sitting in the churches, man, on Sundays and Bible studies on Wednesday night. Well, I say nothing, telling them Bible study more better, turning into the word. But those, most of the children of God, they're sitting in churches on Sundays and everything else, man. They're going through rituals and ceremonies and traditions and everything else, but they don't know what the word of God say. They know what the preachers say about what the word of God say. They're not careful. They put their faith in the wisdom of man instead of in the power of God. So the devil don't want you to know the word for yourself. So he coming to steal that out of your heart. You do the math. You think about it yourself. And you see, you know, hey, most believers, man, listen, they might occasionally open up the Bible and read a verse or quote a scripture to you, but they're not students of the word of God. Now, I didn't say they're not children of the Most High God. Now, I didn't say they ain't saved. I didn't say they're going to go to hell. I just say, man, we're being destroyed, man, for a lack of knowledge. And because we don't know, man, the word of God, then how you going to apply what you don't know to your life? How you going to step out on it, man, if you don't know what he say? How you going to act on it? How you going to possess it, man, if you don't never speak it? How you going to speak it if you don't know it? So he coming, man, to rob this word out of your life. Especially this word, the gospel of the kingdom. He don't ever want you to hear that. You don't mind you hearing all the good news, man, that we hear in churches and everything else that reveal to you who God is and who Jesus is and what he did. As long as you don't hear the message, boy, that Jesus Christ was preaching. What? See, listen, boy, the gospel of Jesus is the good news about Jesus and who he is and what he did. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached is the good news about you and I, who we are and what we can do. So the devil will preoccupy us with the gospel of Jesus, who he is and what he did. And that's a good thing. We rejoice in that and everything else. But as long as you don't come to the knowledge of who you are and what you can do, then we continue to live far below our rights and privileges, when all the time we are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. The Bible said in the same book I was quoting to you, where he say he's standing in the congregation of mighty, that's Psalm 82. Later on, he say, and ye are little gods. I ain't say you was God. Let me say it in this easy, simple way for you to understand it. And you are offsprings of God. You are sons of God. That word son there don't have no gender. That word son of God, that means offspring, or to spring off from. You come from God. You spring off from God. You're a masterpiece because you are a piece of the master. You come from God. Hallelujah. So a son come in two models. What? Male model and female model. Hallelujah. What? They come in two models, male and female, but they both sons. They both man. One man has a fetus, it's called a woman, a womb, and one man, you know, has a seed, that's called a man. But they both man, woman and man, male and female. But they both man, they both sons of the Most High God. They both men offspring from God. They both come from God. We all come from God, whether you're in a male body or a female body. Come from God. And boy, the devil do everything he can, boy, to keep us, man, from hearing the word of God. Listen, I invite people all the time to listen, man, to tune in. Everybody that's in my contacts, to tune in and listen, boy, to our Bible studies that we do on Thursday night and then our radio broadcast that we do on Saturday. Sometimes I wonder, man, how many people, man, really tune in and listen. Or they just go in one ear and come out the other. Or I just pass by. Because I know what happened if it do that. That's the devil, boy, robbing the word of life from your life. Right. Because God said this. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul said this to all of the believers. He said, I place you under the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up, not hype you up, not stir up your emotions, but build you up and give you your inheritance that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. What? You mean to tell me we got an inheritance? You mean to tell me we are heirs or something? See, that's what I'm talking about. If somebody left you $1 million and you didn't know nothing about it, you could die poor, broken, hungry when all the time you're a millionaire. Somebody say the devil, man, it come to steal and kill and destroy and robbed us from the knowledge of God's will for our lives and God's intent and God's purpose and God's plan for our lives. Listen, you have an inheritance. The Bible says we are no longer servants of God. That's in Galatians. We are no longer servants. You hear most believers say, I'm a servant of the Lord, not me. I ain't no servant. I'm a son of the Most High God. That serves. I ain't, now listen, don't misunderstand. I ain't saying we don't serve the Lord. I'm just telling you I ain't a servant. There's a difference between a servant in the house and the son in the house. There's a difference between the maid and the butler and the daughter and the son. A big deal. Why? The son and the daughter get the inheritance. They might get a butler and the maid a little something, but boy, all the majority of the inheritance go to a boy, the maid, they go to the son and to the daughter, to the children. But you inherit, the Bible says in Galatians again, we no longer servants, but sons of God. What that is, son means? Offsprings of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Say that again, brother. You are heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You have an inheritance. Another place, man, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, he say, come, all of you, that's everybody, invitation going out to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, come, what? Somebody say, what do you say? Well, that was for me, man, but let me tell you what I, that was, that he come, my son. But in Matthew 25, 34, come, you who are blessed of your father, and get your inheritance, what? All of the kingdom of hell that was prepared for you. That was prepared for you. When? Before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians, God said it this way. Said, thank be unto God who has chosen us. When? Before the foundation of the world. Chose what? That we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. Hallelujah. And that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might make that known unto you. What? That he chose you before the foundation of the world. What he chose? That we should be holy. What's holy? That we should be just like our Father in heaven. Why? Because that's what he said. Let's create mankind just like us in our end and in our life. Yet we living and dying like mere men and mere women. When all the time, boy, we got the character and nature of the Most High God living on the inside of these physical bodies. We got the likeness of God, the functioning principles of God. We got the character of God, the nature of God, the attributes of God. As he is, so are we. But if the devil can keep you from the knowledge of that, then he can keep us, like I said, living far below our rights and privileges. He can rob us of all our power and authority that Jesus Christ gave us. He said, I give you power over all the powers of your enemy. You think he was just saying that? Man, that's an eternal truth. Now, whether you operate in it or not, or whether I operate in it or not, that's a different story. Why? Because, boy, you not only got to come to the knowledge of God's word, but you got to believe God's word, and you got to receive God's word. You got to grab a hold to it, and you got to seize it, and you got to place it in your possession. That's receive. See, a lot of us here, they go in one ear and come out the other. Like I told you, I invite a lot of all my friends, everybody in my contact. I got about 300 people in my contact. I send it out to everybody. Come join us, boy. Let's go into the presence of the Most High God. Some go in one ear and come out the other ear. Some see it, man, and pass right on by, man, and won't do it. And listen, that's not on them. That's because, man, the God of this world has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts to seeing they see not and hearing they hear not. How is he able to do that? Because of a lack of knowledge. That's why most people that I send it to that don't tune in, that's why. Why? Hey, that ain't no serious indictment against them. That's to let them know, but boy, that's a devil loose, man. And he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge, man, of the gospel of the kingdom. He don't mind you coming to the knowledge of something, but boy, as long as you don't come to the knowledge of the kingdom of God, your inheritance, the kingdom of heaven. As long as you don't come to the knowledge of what God is doing, or you don't mind you coming to the knowledge of what your church is doing, what your denomination is doing, what this group is doing, and what that group is doing, and they can all be doing good things for the Lord and everything else. That's a good thing. Like I told you, the devil's most successful tactic against us as believers is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. What's good thing? That's all the thing that we are doing for God. What's great thing? That's all the thing that God is doing for us. Say that again, brother. What's the good thing? That's all the thing that we can do for God. What's the great thing? That's all the thing that God can do for us. If we're not careful, we'll be preoccupied with all the good things that we can do for God. And that's a good thing, and all those things need to be done. But, boy, you need to bring that under the board, the umbrella, man, of what God is doing for us. You need to know what God is doing for us. Not what we're doing for him. Not the program that we're putting on for him. Not the man, you know, all the program, a good program. Now, listen, don't misunderstand. That don't mean that that's wrong and that we ought to not be doing that thing. I'm just talking about, boy, there's a going on in God. It's not that what we can do for him is what he has done for us. That boy, the devil don't mind us coming to the knowledge of what all of us are doing and what our churches are doing and what our ministers are doing in order to help God. But, man, let me tell you something, man. God ain't looking for God ain't trying to, man, listen. Oh, God. I heard his brother told me last night, man, really blessed me. He said, boy, he wanted to speak for God. They wouldn't let him. And then, boy, he went to God about it. And he said, God told him, listen, I don't need you to speak for me. I need you to speak to me. See, most of us as ministers and sharers of the word of God, we be speaking, man, for God. And listen, that ain't bad. That ain't evil. That's a good thing. But what I'm trying to tell you, that's something that's greater. God don't want us to speak for him. He wants us to speak to him. And when we speak to him, then he want to speak to us. So he don't want us to speak for him. He want to speak through us. He want to speak. He don't want us to speak for him. He want to speak through us to mankind. He want to speak. Not what we say, not what we do, even if we line it up. But boy, he wants us to come to the knowledge that the excellency of the power is not of us. He want to speak through us to a lost and dying world. He want to anoint our lips of clay with the anointed word of God, the Most High God, so that we could do just like Jesus said. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Devil preoccupied us with just trying to live a Christian life, climbing up on the rough side of the mountain, trying my best to make it in. One glad morning we shall be with him. And all, man, this is not that good and everything else, man. We ain't got climbing up on no rough side of no mountain. God say, speak to the mountain. And don't doubt in your heart that believe those things that you say shall come to pass. You can have what you say. What you mean, speak to the mountain? Speak to the sickness and disease that's in our lives. Speak to the poverty and light that's in our lives. Speak to every negative circumstance, situation, and symptom that's in our lives. Speak what, man? Speak the word of God to it. And let me tell you something, the word of God is disintegrated. But when we line our words up with the circumstance, situation, and symptom, then we give it power. But when we speak the word of God to our circumstance, situation, and symptom, then, man, we got power over all the circumstance, situation, and symptom. What's the problem in us? We're not speaking the word of God to our circumstance, situation, and symptom. We're speaking what is. Instead of speaking those things that be not as though they was, we speaking what is as though it is. So you get a pain in your heart, boy, the first thought come to your mind, man, is heart failure, a heart attack, a heart trouble. Then you put a cup on your arm and everything else and push that little button, man, and your blood pressure come out, man, 200 over, man, 150. You start speaking that word. I got high blood pressure. I got this. I got that. I got cancer. I got sugar diabetes. I got this. I got that. Man, you calling those things that are as though they are. And guess what's going to be the result of that? You're going to have what you say. That don't mean you don't deny that. That means you start calling things that be not as though they were. So even though them symptoms are there, then this are the words that come out of my mouth. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Why you believe that, Arthur? I don't walk by sight. The body say just the opposite. The doctors say just the opposite. The symptoms say just the opposite. The symptoms say you're sick. The symptoms say you got high blood pressure. The symptoms say you got cancer. The symptoms say you got sugar diabetes. The symptoms say, man, you got enlarged prostate. The symptoms say you need operation. The symptoms say all of that. And, man, let me tell you something. The symptoms is a fact. But I'm talking about something that supersedes facts. That's the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. What's true? The word of God is true. Facts are temporal. They subject to change. But truth is eternal, glory to God. That don't never change. What's the truth is, man? We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God with all power. Yet we living and dying like mere men and mere women. And it's all because of a lack of knowledge. So again, the devil coming and rob the word out of your life. Especially the word that you're hearing right now in this hour. You don't mind you hearing the story preaching about David and Goliath and everything else, how David slew Goliath and everything else. As long as you don't learn to understand that that was an old covenant, man. And that's what happened in the old covenant. And you don't know that you and I live in a new covenant established on better promises and everything else. Saul killed his 1,000. David killed his 10,000. You and I can then kill hundreds of thousands, millions, what? Demons and devils and bring mankind to the knowledge of the truth. How, Arthur? Through the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed of God's word in our hearts, in our lives, and in our mouths. So as we minister that one to another, that's the word of life. And guess what it's going to produce? Life. But if you minister man what he is and the natural light in, that's what they're going to produce. Natural life. If you men, you know, confess of sickness and disease, guess what he's going to produce? Sickness and disease. Be not deceived. God not marked. Whatsoever man say, that's what he's going to have. That's what that means when they say, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. You ain't going to plant no apple seed and get tomatoes. You ain't going to plant no tomato seed and get apples. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to have what you say. So the devil, again, coming to rob the word of God out of our lives so he can keep it out of our mouths. So that we don't never say what God say, man. We just say what the circumstance, situation, and symptoms say. That's motivated and influenced by the devil. And all the time, the only thing, man, and the only weapon that you have to combat against that is the word of the Most High God. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. Listen, David took that small stone and, man, and knocked Goliath out, man. You know, he might have been dead. I don't know, boy. He might have been just knocked out. I really don't know. But the one thing I do know, when he took that sword, Goliath's sword, and cut his head off, there was no doubt then. Hallelujah. He was dead. He could have been just knocked out. He could have been dead when the stone hit him. But the seal of guarantee, the assurance that he was no longer a threat to the man, the people of God, when David took the sword, boy, and cut his head off. It guaranteed he gone in. See, if you knock somebody out, they'd be out, man. They can be out for an hour, 2 hours a day, and boy, they can get back up. But when you cut their head off, ain't no getting back up to them. Say that again, brother. Hey, when he cut his head off, ain't no getting back up from there. Never God has given us, man, a two-edged sword for, man, to cut the devil's head off. What do you mean cut the devil's head off? To cut the devil's authority that he has over our life that was given to him by Adam to take the word of God and put it on every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts our lives. And guess what he's going to do? The word of God will change darkness into light. It'll change sickness into health. It'll change poverty into wealth. It'll change a lost soul to a saved soul. It'll change men, us from being men to tell and make us to heed. Listen, it'll change any circumstance, any situation, any symptom that opposes itself against the will of God for our life. Let me say it in a better way, the known will of God for our life. See, if you don't know the will of God for your life, then you won't be able to speak there. If you don't speak there, then you ain't planting there. If you don't plant there, you ain't going to harvest there. I say it again. What you trying to tell us in this message today? I don't want to warn you of your enemy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians man, chapter 2, it says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Because if you do, he'll take you captive at his will. What you mean? All you got to do is dangle a circumstance, a situation, a symptom before us, and he get us to line up our will, our emotions, our attitude. He get us to line up our words with that circumstance, situation, and symptom. What he did? All he did was dangle a circumstance, a situation, or a symptom in front of us, and it's kind of like puppet string control. Yeah, Lord. And he make you act any kind of way he wants you to act. What he uses? Circumstances, situations, and symptoms. And he'll make you line up your words with those circumstances, situations, and symptoms that he uses. What's the circumstance, situation, and symptom, man? I told you, boy, you get a pain in your body, man. That's a symptom. You confronted with, man, something that somebody said, somebody done, that's a situation. Or something that happened to you, that's a situation. You being confronted, man, with anything in this world that opposes itself against the perfect will of God for your life, not the permissive will, the perfect will of God for your life, and you allow that to dictate to you, that's a circumstance, situation, and symptom. But boy, when you, because you're going to have them. In this world, you're going to have trials. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But you can be a good cheer. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, I overcame. Overcame every circumstance, every situation, every sin. And if I overcame, Jesus said, then so shall you. So can you. But what we need to overcome, we need the knowledge of God's word and God's will for our life. Not sense knowledge. Not knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasonings. Not knowledge that we derive from our schools and our education, man, that we derive through our five sense reasoning. But I'm talking about a revelation knowledge. Knowledge that's revealed to us, man, by God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's revelation knowledge. And God prayed, and Jesus prayed this here, that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. Not our will, not our kingdom, not our desire. He said, but that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose, Lord? So that we can know what is the hope of our calling. So that we can know why God saved us, why God man called us, why God want to hang out with us, why God want to touch us. So that we can know what is the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of the power that living on the inside of us, that's available to us. What power is that? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said this here. All the mighty works that Jesus Christ was doing, he never attributed that to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who? That's the Holy Spirit. He's upon me. He has anointed me to preach this good news, man, about who you are and what you can do. He has anointed me, man, to heal a broken heart. He has, man, sent me and anointed me, boy, to set the captives free, the recovering of sight to the blind, those who are blinded to all of God's word and can't see it, and those who are deaf can't hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. He has sent me, man, to open the prison doors and set at liberty all those who are bound, and to proclaim to every man, every woman, and every boy and every girl that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. What you mean? They call it the year of Jubilee. What? All debt canceled. Everything that your old man paid in full. Everything that you're in bondage to, set free. All the prisoners that was in jail, doors open and all the captives set free. And boy, all they did, man, was rejoice, boy, for the whole year in the God of their salvation. And boy, that's what Jesus Christ come preaching to us, that this is your year of jubilee. This is the year, man. This is the day. This is the moment. This is the time, man, to get all the blessings that God, man, has in store for you into your life. How you appropriate that into your life? By believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth, what? The word of God about your circumstance, situation, and symptom. How you going to believe it in your heart and confess it in your mouth if you don't have no knowledge of it, if you don't know what he say? That's why most of our prayer we pray, man, if it be thy will. That's an indication that you don't know the will of God, if it be thy will. That, you can't operate no faith in that because you don't know the will of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by knowing, man, what the will of God is and then, man, operating in that. But if you don't know what the will of God is, then how are you going to exercise any faith in it? If you don't know what the word of God, what your faith is in, your faith is in the word of God. But if you don't know the word of God and the will of God for your life, then how are you going to exercise any faith for it? That's why I said earlier, the devil coming to rob the word of God out of your life. You know, he'll want you to be encouraged and exalted and lifted up, man. He'll tell you, man, don't do this and quit doing this and you are quit doing this. And you're going to go to hell because of this or that and everything. He'll tell you all that God did. He'll condemn you and point out to you all your faults and mistakes and declare you unsuitable, man, for use because of your faults and mistakes. Hallelujah. The devil is alive, baby. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the new man that's created in Christ Jesus, who walk after the word of God, who won't walk after the natural man, but walk after that spiritual man. What? How you walk after that spiritual man? By walking, boy, in the reality, walking after the word of God. Becoming, man, a student of the word of God. Becoming one with the word of God. Making, man, the word of God a priority in your life. You got to breathe every day, don't you? You got to have air every day, don't you? You have to have water every day, don't you? You have to have food every day, don't you? But man, let me tell you something, boy. The most important thing you need every day is the word of God. Why? Because that's the life support system, man, of eternal life. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. And that's what the devil don't ever want you to know. The word of God. He don't want you to know it for yourself. Why? Because if you don't know it, then you can't exercise no faith in it. You don't exercise no faith in it, you can't appropriate it in our lives here on earth. By grace are we saved. By grace are we healed. By grace are we delivered. It's by grace that we are provided for. Through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. The salvation is a gift from God. The healing is a gift from God. The deliverance from anything that we might need, deliverance from, habits and everything else, a gift from God. Provisions for everything that we need provisions for, all those are gifts from God. Ain't nothing that you earn. That's because of the love of God for you. Those are gifts from God. But it's through faith. How you appropriate that in our life? It's through faith. Well, it's through faith. And the grace and the faith, they both gifts from God. But how y'all get faith? By hearing and hearing. And hearing. How faith come? By hearing and hearing and hearing. What? The word of God. So what you trying to tell us, Dr. Man, as you close this radio broadcast? Let's stop letting the devil rob the word of God out of our lives. Let us stop, man, letting the devil deceive us, man. And cause us, man, to not see how important, man, the word of God is to our life. And how important faith in the word of God is to our lives. Because everything that we're going to get from God is going to be a result of us exercising faith in it. Hallelujah. What? It's going to be as a result of your faith. And faith in what? In the word of God. How you get faith in the word of God? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing continuously. Faith don't come by, I heard it. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So you can say, oh, I heard that, and then not ever hear it again. No, you got to hear it and 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 hear it. How long, Arthur? Forever. You got to be constantly, man, hearing what God say, man. You got to constantly be knowing, man, what God is speaking to us, man. You got to be constantly be growing in the knowledge of God's will for our life. Just like you constantly breathe. Just like you constantly eat every day and drink water every day. You got to constantly, man, be getting, man, the knowledge of God's will for our life inside of us. How you do that, Arthur? Hallelujah. All you got to do, boy, listen. The Bible said it this way, and I close. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, listen to what it say. Seek ye first. Let that be a number one priority. What's that? The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In your life. And his righteousness. His way of putting you in right standing with himself. His way of redeeming our life from the sin that Adam sold us into. See, what's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. And what God has said about what he's doing. How is what God is doing revealed to us? Through his word. He spoke it. He revealed it to us. Revelation knowledge. Hey, listen, my time is about up on this radio broadcast, and we're going to continue this. We're going to do a series. The first few years of this radio broadcast, 4 or 5 years, man, has been an introduction to rediscovering the gospel of the kingdom. But, man, from here on out, hey, listen, my prayer that all of us, those of you who may have been in on the sound of my voice, that you come to the knowledge that the kingdom of heaven is not in the sweet by and by. It's in the right here and now. And that is available to you now. And that you come on into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And now that you come into the kingdom of God, now we got to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom of God. The laws that governs the kingdom of God. How to live in the kingdom of God. Because see, you could be in the kingdom of God, but because of a lack of knowledge of the laws that governs the kingdom and how to live in the kingdom, even though you're in the kingdom, you still be living far below our rights and privileges. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what? How to function in the kingdom of God. How to live in the kingdom of God. Not in the world, how to live in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You live by the word of God. You live by faith. You live, man, by the royal law of love. You live by the perfect law of liberty. Who the Son set free, you free, man, in every area of your life. Whatever you are chained up to, bound up to, boy, who the Son set free is free indeed. And the law that gives everything from the unseen realm to the seen realm. There's a law of sowing and reaping. We got to put God's word in our mouth. But we can put it in our mouth. We got to get it. We got to come to the knowledge of it. So that's what my prayer is that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you might grow in the knowledge of him, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. Bringing glory to his name. How? Manifesting his word and his will in our lives. Listen, I decree and declare to you that every need that's represented out there in radio land, all of you who are under the sound of my voice, listen, man, God has already met all of our needs. God has already healed us of all our diseases. God has already saved us from all of our sins. God has already delivered us from every bondage that the devil and every trap that the devil set for us. What we got to do, Arthur, is come to the knowledge of, decree it and declare it in our lives, and walk in. Hey, listen, y'all. My time is up. Hey, if my wife, Gail, and I could be a minister to you, if you want to bless you. Hey, listen, our phone number is area code 713-870-3776. That's Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry. 713-870-3776. If we could be of any blessing to you, pray with you, encourage you in any way, feel free to call. We love you with the love of the Lord. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Stay tuned and tell a friend. Bye-bye.
Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is KAYT, Gina.